Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Saturday Morning Anime Podcast, where we leave the analysis to the professionals. I'm Trey, your stonemason.
And I'm Xavier, your historian.
Now, before we get started, I want to remind everyone that this show is not intended for kids, even if our favorite shows totally are.
So this episode, we're going to be diving into probably one of the most painful parts of the anime fan experience in recap episodes. I say painful, not because I don't think recap episodes can be done well, and we're going to get into some of the ways they can be done well, but painful because of the age we're living in, which is the age of streaming and the age of the binge watch. So I really don't want my experience like bogged down by telling me about something I watched 5 minutes ago.
Yeah, this became pretty apparent to me when I watched Hunter x Hunter, because I did not watch Hunter x Hunter when it was coming out, right? And Hunter x Hunter, in 148 episodes of content with basically very little filler, has one recap episode at the end of the first main arc that feels super out of place, and you literally just sort of skipped over it while, like, when I was streaming it, and like when I rewatched all of the series, I was like, oh, it's like episode 26 or whatever, get that one out of here. So it's stuff like that. Do you want to go into like describing the function or history of recap episodes or what? I know you've got like pages on pages of notes for this.
Yeah. So I'm going to go over the structure and sort of the background of the recap episode. And I do want to get your thoughts on it, because I find it to be a kind of interesting topic, because it's a lot about TV politics. And then we can sort of do our good, the bad, the ugly of recap episodes.
Yeah, totally. Go for it, man. Take it away.
So I guess, understand the purpose of recap episodes. Like, before I started researching it, I just thought it was an essential service, because to some people, these are just TV shows. So there's often a big wait between seasons, or there can be like a weird time slot thing, and you need a recap of some time to keep your audience ahead. But in the age of streaming, that feels really archaic in a way. So I was like, well, what is the reason these recap episodes came about? So one very obvious, like I talked about, we just switched a time slot and there was a season gap. So season one leading into season two, who knows how much production time. Let's catch these kids, because the target demographic is a younger age, up on what's happening, because anime can sometimes become convoluted and complicated. Seems to make sense to me. Also, the less popular something gets, the more the time slot's going to be moved around, which means you need that recap. The other one is one that we usually think of as just filler, but recap episodes are actually a type of filler, which is it buys the studio time for the manga to get ahead. So when you hit those long stretches of recap episode, it could literally just be giving them time for more writing material, because sometimes they legitimately don't have those next arcs written, and rather than invest time and effort into a filler arc, they'll just recap, which I find interesting as a tactic to get over that hump. And you go ahead.
Oh, man. Okay, so you said there were like these two purposes, right? Like time slot jump around. We want to make sure that we can keep people caught up, because some people watch shows like Naruto or Boruto weekly, right? And then there was sort of this, we need to save studio money and like lower animation costs and lower writing costs by reproducing these episodes over and over again, and like recapping people basically, right?
Yeah. And there's one other one that I found kind of interesting that I didn't think about. Just plain out company greed. So I didn't think about it, but depending on how many recap episodes you add to a series, it can be just enough to push it into another DVD volume worth of content, which means more money.
Oh, okay. Okay. So this is what you were talking about when you found like the weird, interesting shit you wanted to talk about, huh?
Yeah. Cause I guess I never thought about it, but recently Trey and I were at a comic shop in mask, of course, being safe. But they had a wall of anime DVDs, and I just sort of have accepted the anime DVDs often come in like box sets or multiple volumes. But I never thought about like the episode dynamic, because I guess I got in the habit of thinking about them like Tonkabon volumes, where it's just going to be what it's going to be. But you can manipulate that between a 13 to 24 episode series quite effectively by how much filler and how much recap you put in, so that they have to buy more content.
That's so, thinking about that, I have not watched a lot of series in like DVD or in like VHS form, right? But I can, looking back at like old Pokemon, right? Like old Pokemon CDs and old Pokemon DVDs, they split them up into like groups of like whatever, 4 to 12 episodes per disc or per like box set, depending on what you're doing. And rewatching some of like the Orange League and everything, there are, if I'm remembering correctly, like recap episodes in there right around the time where season breaks would be, but that come off pretty pointless. So like, I'm wondering how many series you think might actually do this.
I think it's relatively common. So like, once I saw someone talk about this, I started thinking about all of the anime DVDs and VHSs that I own. And I remember on our first episode, I talked about how I used to think that Yu Yu Hakusho was only the Dark Tournament arc. The reason that I knew Yu Yu Hakusho was more than just the Dark Tournament arc to a degree is because there was a catch up on who the characters were at the beginning of the VHS tape. Like, it explained who Yusuke Urameshi was, what the situation was, right? And as a kid, I thought, this is basically the exposition, right? This is the Mowgli gets lost in the jungle of Jungle Book. But thinking back on it now, I'm wondering how much of that, because it's been a long time since I've watched Yu Yu Hakusho the series, though I know it does have a weird long recap in it. I just don't remember where in the beginning. How much of that is, well, we can make a Dark Tournament VHS, but we can make it the exact right length if we have a recap?
So I have two questions, one of which is very serious, one of which is not. The not serious one is, do you tend to compare media from your childhood to the Jungle Book specifically for story structure reasons?
No, but I think the Jungle Book, Tarzan, and Mulan are great for comparing story structure because they have very rigid structures.
I agree entirely. We were talking about Mulan and stuff earlier today. I think that movie has really great structure. The second question, the actual question is, like, how do we go about deciding or like deciphering or like sleuthing out, I guess, if the recap episodes were put in for this more nefarious fillery reason, but not filler like we need to save time, filler like, oh, we can make this season 5 DVD sets instead of 4 to get that extra from the kids, you know, get that extra money. Like, how do you even go about like figuring out if a series did that deliberately? Or is that kind of impossible and you just have to guess?
I think that most of it is guesswork. I bet there are probably like some egregious offenders. Like, I know for a fact that there are some Pokemon DVDs that are an entire filler, like arc. There's probably some Naruto DVDs. I don't own any of the Naruto DVDs, but with how much filler it had, there has to be. And Naruto also has quite a few recap episodes. I don't know if it matters how much of it is a money ploy, because if you're a collector of something, you're going to collect it regardless. To bring in another example of something that I kind of collect, Gunpla has these things called P-Bandai or Premium Bandai releases, which are basically limited time releases of certain Gunpla, often really interesting ones or like fan demanded ones. Like, I believe the White Dingo GM Sniper, which was like a special GM Sniper unit from the Universal Century, was one, and there have recently been a lot of P-Bandai releases. Like, these are all ways to make extra money. There is essentially no reason other than like a bit more mechanics and maybe some decals that these can't be mass produced. But, you know, it's the price of being a Gunpla fan, and I think this is the price of being a physical medium anime fan, because I don't think this is as relevant, one, if you're going to collect anyway, but also in the streaming age.
That's true. One, because you can kind of skip the episode in the streaming age. Two, because I don't actually think that's like the biggest offender of like corporate greed, obviously, right? If the corporate greed that your collection is dealing with is, damn, I got to buy 6 DVDs instead of 5 DVDs because they slipped in 2 extra filler recap episodes, I feel like that's pretty livable compared to some of the more egregious stuff that goes on in the anime industry and like just industry in general, I guess, right? Like, this is not something I'm super mad about, but it is interesting to hear about.
Also, I have a question for you on the idea of like using a recap to create space. Do you think that anime as it exists in 2020 should be taking the risk of the early 2000s of anime writers writing more of their own stories, like not just as filler, but as the story to an anime that just completely overtakes the manga as far as pacing, like in the case of Full Metal Alchemist, and hope for more brotherhood type seasons? Or is like this recap and this filler cycle we find ourselves in for long running shonen just how it's going to be?
So I don't know how people tend to feel about this. I'm okay with series going a different direction if they catch up to the manga normally, right? Sometimes be like that. I think it, like, it, at least in the very popular ones, like Fullmetal Alchemist, Soul Eater, even Hellsing, it's not bad. Not normally. I don't think Fullmetal Alchemist, like the original series, is bad. In fact, I think it's pretty damn great. Even the parts near the end, where it's all kind of original content. Admittedly, this isn't as much of a problem nowadays, I guess, because people have seen those series and started to kind of learn from the mistakes a little bit, and have started taking their time in certain adaptations, like how Demon Slayer is taking a big break by making one arc a film, right?
Yeah.
And things like that, or how series like Netflix are taking over and saying, dude, we'll just release Beastars whenever we fucking can, you know? Because they've realized they can be really successful just adapting the manga and taking breaks. And in this, like a streaming example, like with Beastars, right? Netflix literally gains nothing, and the viewer literally gains nothing from just producing recap episodes and uploading them.
Absolutely
right?
Not.
Like, they're not filling time because people are already waiting months for the next season to fill up. People aren't watching Beastars as a weekly release structure, right? It's not like you're watching Hellsing and it caught up and you want to watch your next episode of Hellsing next week and they had to write some original shit, or they put in a filler episode, which I don't actually know if there are any in Hellsing. But at least with the advent of like this sort of streaming service anime creation, in those series I don't think it's much of a problem. I'm not sure how it works in more long form series like Boruto, but that's because I'm not caught up with Boruto. But I do know Boruto has had almost like less than 5 canon episodes in like 2+ years or something, because the last canon to the manga content in Boruto was like when they fought Momoshiki in episode 65, which is a fight we've been watching on repeat for 2 years.
Yeah, and I guess the thing for me, as someone who's been watching anime for a long time, like upwards of 10 years, right, is in the same vein as English specific dub anime openings, which we'll talk about one day, I sort of miss that old style of like, let's come up with our own thing. Because I think that Full Metal Alchemist, coupled with like the original movie Conquerors of Shambhala, is just as big a juggernaut as Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood. Not saying that it's as good as Brotherhood, because the original story obviously is more put together as it was intended to be. But Full Metal Alchemist, like as a complete package with the movie, is still an amazing piece of media, and they did that on their own with an established universe. And with the Boruto episodes, like, I've read the Boruto manga, and I've seen some of the Boruto content, like, I'm not current on Boruto, but I like the what is essentially filler, but honestly just original stories that they keep spitting out to fill up all this time, because they're interesting, and I feel like the characters get way more development out of what the anime studio is doing than what the writer of Boruto is doing.
That's fair. My only thing is that I know that's kind of dipping away from recaps toward filler, but this comes with the problem of sometimes you can't do a lot of creative things with the characters because you need them to be in the same state they were at the most like recent canon episode, which is something original Naruto suffers from a lot, because the series stopped being canon in television at the end of season 4 when Naruto fucks off to go train with Jiraiya for 3 years, right?
Yeah.
But there's 5 seasons straight of filler afterwards with like the Star Village and like the ninja animals and all that stuff.
The Star Village is my favorite because Naruto gets this like super fucking power boost out of nowhere that's never talked about ever again, like movie Naruto fashion. And no one ever talks about the Star Village again, even though they would have been badass in the Ninja War.
Yeah, don't worry about it. You don't need that content. It's all filler. That's not even, it didn't even happen. You know, like that's the thing. Other than, I think the ostrich got a shout out during the Ninja War when like there was a bunch of like Biju fighting at one point. I think the ninja ostrich got a shout out and was made canon.
There was, and again, this is talking so much about filler, but I think filler and recap episodes are birds of the feather here.
Yeah.
I know in Naruto, the swordsmen of the seven, or the seven swordsmen of the mist, got a bunch of like weird backstory and exposition during the filler that made them showing up in the Ninja War way cooler.
I have not watched all the original Naruto filler, so I can't actually comment on that.
Yeah, no, but some of it's fucking good.
I mean, I'm down. Like, if you are using your filler to highlight certain, if to make certain aspects of the series hit harder, like, I think there's ways to do filler well, just as I think there are ways to do recap episodes well, right? That's called the segue, baby. But I don't know how important they really are anymore, I guess, is how to bring it back to things. Because I totally get putting recap episodes in every season or so in your We Make Boruto Every Week literally forever, you know, because you want to keep people caught up, especially if it's when you're transitioning from filler content back into canon content. Because let's imagine you made 150 episodes of Boruto straight. That was all filler, right? You would probably want a recap episode about what happened with the Naruto Sasuke Momoshiki fight and the arc leading up to it when you finally get into all of like the Sasha and Koji new canon material. Once you eventually make that again, right? Like there are reasons for these episodes to exist and there's good ways to do them, but I'm not sure of their necessity anymore, honestly.
Yeah. And I think that a lot of it comes down to business model. So with something like Netflix that like is releasing stuff like Asian and Ultraman and Brand New Animal all at once, like here's your fucking anime season, go crazy, it becomes largely irrelevant, right? Like even with Castlevania, the animation, which is basically an anime, let's be honest here.
More or less, yeah.
They go right into it as if nothing has happened, even though there was a big period of time between season 1 and season 2. And I think there might have been like a small recap, but like negligible, you know what I mean?
Yeah, which I respect, because on the part of Netflix, right, that shows some faith in the viewer to like remember what fucking happened in season 2 and like remember what Isaac was up to in season 2 and like why his shit in season 3 is epic.
Also, like it's Netflix and they are pretty good about announcing when their seasons are gonna drop, so if you feel like you've fallen behind or don't remember enough details, just go binge watch season 1 again. You did it anyway.
Yeah, when we sat down and watched the first half of season 3 of Castlevania that night we bleached my hair. I knew we were going to do that. And I rewatched the finale of season 2 to like make sure my brain was all fresh so I could know where these characters like Hector and Isaac were and why they were in these places and stuff. And that's kind of the benefit of these like streaming drops, because you don't really need to worry about recapping because all the content is right there at your fingertip. And you're not going to need like a mid-season recap because everyone's already binge watching like the whole season of the Umbrella Academy in one afternoon and staying up all night, right? So you don't need a bit in the middle that's like, here's what happened last week on Dragon Ball Z, you know?
But also, in like the interest of convenience, you've got, and like even Hulu's getting in on it, though I think Funimation might still be like the most ahead on this because of how much exclusive rights they have to things like dubs, simul-dubbing. So the fact that I'm getting my anime episode as it comes out in Japan around the same-ish time, if you're lucky, because simul-dubbing is more of an art than a science at this point, means that if there's a recap episode airing in Japan, because this is a 2TV show, then I still get that dub recap in the simul-dub. And simul-dub is a way to make it so I don't have to wait for the whole dub to come out anymore. I can get it an episode every week. Whereas before, you had to get that shit illegally or wait for someone to sub the raw if you didn't speak Japanese.
Simul-dub recap episodes is one of the most cursed phrases I've thought of in a while. I'm not going to lie. Like, just. I imagine like going to a record store and picking up an album with a really weird cover and you pop it on the back and it's like simul dub recap episode is the name of like some weird fucking punk song in a language you never heard of or something.
That sounds just about right for how I
look. It has that energy. It has that energy. You know, you could drive to like one of those street corner record shops and find something like that, but. Simul-dub recap episodes, that just feels wrong and weird to me, I guess. I don't know why, but it just feels like uncomfortable.
Yeah, so like I watched My Hero Academia season 3 as it was coming out in simul-dub. And if you know about My Hero Academia season 3 and My Hero Academia in general, and I'm going to take a little bit here to say, reminder, I love this series, but this is like some heavy criticism on it. My Hero Academia has recap episodes in near excess, and I don't know if it's because My Hero has very little filler or they just don't make enough original content or the pacing is actually fast, which is why they've slowed it down in recent seasons, but an egregious amount of time is given towards, hey, remember that this happened and this happened and this character's here and this character's here. So week after week, you'd be tuning in and it's like, ah, by the way, did you remember Deku trained on the beach that one time?
Oh, God. Okay, wait. Now that I'm thinking about this, right, I'm trying to remember. I don't think I remember any distinct recap episodes of Dragon of My Hero Academia, right? But some episodes do the One Piece thing where the first 5 minutes of the episode are just like the highlights of the previous episode.
Yeah, that's also really common. Yeah. And I don't know if it's to pad out time, which like maybe recap as padding out time is something we actually need to be criticizing, or they actually think the audience doesn't remember. Because I can understand doing that if there's like a holiday right before the episode comes off. So like sometimes series will just go on holiday hiatus, like it's relatively common. Or if this is like literally just, we got to slow the pacing down.
Yeah. And I think that comes down to a case by case basis. And it also comes down to like, not just case by case for the series, but its intended audience, right? Because I think we got to start getting into like good ways to do recap episodes, right? Where imagine you're watching like a high stakes thriller, right? Or the kind of series where you're supposed to solve a mystery alongside the detective, you know, like a Poirot or a Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah. No, actually, stop. We only use anime examples. You mean like Detective Conan and like Death Note or It Invaded. It Invaded is a detective series I haven't watched yet.
My favorite detective, Death Note. Yeah. No.
Death Note is a detective story deep down.
No, it is. I'm treating it like it's a character named Death Note. That's the detective. No, I'm gonna say Poirot because I like Agatha Christie stuff. But
also, I'm not sure that's how you pronounce that. But like, go off, King.
And it's how they pronounced it in the Murder on the Orient Express movie that I watched in theaters 2 years ago that came out. That was like, okay.
I mean, that's fine. I'm just not sure that those combinations of syllables make poi.
I also don't know, but not a language I'm very familiar with. So like, y'all can flame me on Twitter. Mostly y'all don't follow me there anyways. It's fine. But I mean, can we say like Poirot? I don't know. I don't know how to pronounce it. Okay.
Yeah, go for it.
But you see these, right? I could totally see the value of a recap episode where the recap episode is your detective going back over the evidence to give the audience time to try and solve it or to remind them of little clues they might have forgotten across like 25 episodes before the big reveal or something.
I definitely agree with that. I get to use my experience in other Japanese things here. So Kamen Rider Double is a detective season of Kamen Rider, and it does that. So like oftentimes they'll like go through the entire like actual arc, and then the episode before the climax is the working backwards episode. And I think that is a really cool way to recap.
Yeah. I got it. I got an anime that does it. So we don't need to talk about Kamen Rider, Sherlock Holmes, or Poirot. that's not the pronunciation. That was a bit. Danganronpa, the animation. Bro, okay. Danganronpa, the animation. When they have their like court scene at the end where they're all trying to figure out who committed the murder, and if the murderer gets away with it, like they get out and all the other kids die, and if not, they keep playing the murder game. A lot of the scenes of the kids like going around being like, but here's a clue and I accuse you of it. Here's a clue and I accuse you of it. All of that is like reusing animation and recapping the major events and clues of the arcs. And I like how the Danganronpa animation does it, at least in memory. I watched that like a while ago, I'll be real.
I mean, I think that's super fair. Another good way to do a recap that I've seen recently is the first episode of Fire Force Season 2 is a mix between a recap and a filler, where it's an original like one episode Monster of the Week episode where it's just them taking down a giant infernal that does not appear in the manga. And during the fight with the infernal, you get big like stylized cut-ins of the characters' names and who they are and what function they serve as members of Special Fire Company 8. And it's really fun and interesting and a way to like get right into an action scene. So you still get a little bit of hype, and then next episode they're right back to canon material. But you've just been reintroduced to all the characters, so you know what you're getting into if you accidentally started on season 2.
Yeah, so that one's not really like this sort of, all right, let's recap the previous episodes. It's more of a, let's reestablish the tone, let's reestablish our cast.
Yeah, which is what My Hero tries to do, I think, with its beginning season recaps. But it ends off just being, hey, here are these events that happened. They sure did happen, which is like a slideshow recap.
They sure did happen. Yeah, so I do think that's not the best way to do a recap episode, right? And this may be my bias showing a little bit, but as much as I love stylized reintroductions to your cast and the tone, right? That's more of a reintroduction than a recap, I guess. Well, it still counts, but for like pure recap episodes, I really think the way to peak on quality with them, at least to make them interesting, right, is to make the recap feel natural within the world.
Yeah.
And the easiest one is it's the detective going over the clues again to reintroduce you to the events of the arc, right? But there are other ways, or at least hypothetically, there are other ways where you can integrate characters talking about past events or introducing the audience to past events, like as a bit of a jumpstart to the mind, without it coming off as like a slideshow reel, as in My Heroes. Case.
So I think the slideshow can be done well, and also be done in the way that you're talking about, though I don't know many anime that do it. I do know American Power Rangers does it really well a lot of the time, not so much anymore. But if you like look at Dino Thunder, or I guess a better one would be, no, Dino Thunder is a good one. So
damn right it is. Dino Thunder goes hard. It's fantastic.
Yeah, no, it's great. It's how you do a legacy season of anything. If you look at the Power Ranger seasons of the 2000s, there's always one clip show episode. And it's always introduced very innocuously. So in Dino Thunder, they've like hacked into the morphing grid, and they're like, no, the power's like gone out or something. Hacking into the morphing grid is Ninja Storm's excuse. But they're just trading all these crazy stories that they used to hear about, other Rangers and stuff like that. And all the while, it's showing parts of their adventures from earlier in the season, but also events from previous Power Ranger seasons.
Yeah.
Also, I was wrong. I'm pretty sure it is them that are on the computer and like fucking morphing grid YouTubing different Power Ranger teams.
Yeah, no, I think that's really cool. Like, you let your characters crack some jokes and be charming. You in-universe are watching them learn something. You're learning alongside them. You're recapping. I think that's fantastic.
And I want to see more anime do this almost as like a, I guess you'd call it a greatest hits sort of structure, because all Dino Thunder was doing was buying time and reminding you that, hey, this is an anniversary season.
Yeah. And I struggle to think of more anime that do that, right? But I do have a series, an American procedural cop show kind of. Like it has a structure that does it really well in one of its later seasons. Maybe not really well. I watched it a while ago. It does it in its later seasons. I don't know what quality of effect. But if you ever watched the TV show Bones?
Yeah.
So derailing this anime podcast to talk about Bones, a show that I liked when I was 13 watching it with my parents. It's like a procedural cop drama about a bunch of like investigators and stuff. And one of them's really good with bones. Her name is Brennan. And one of the later arcs involves a serial killer who is obsessed with her and her work. Right. And the serial killer does stuff that reminds her of past cases she has solved. And throughout the various episodes that are like focused on this serial killer that is really interested in stalking her specifically, you get flashbacks to different iconic-ish moments from the series, very lightly. If hell, I might be like, this might be a fever dream I'm misremembering, but it just sort of used this weird stalker character to make the protagonist remember events of the past, which is a really kind of fucked up way to do it, but one that I find like in theory pretty interesting.
Yeah. And I also just want to say, as like a disclaimer, this is an anime podcast, but I think the anime as a medium going forward has a lot to learn from other television mediums, because they all share the same kind of delivery method, but all of them have very different ways of going about things. And I think that if one finds a successful way to go about something, then it should be incorporated into the other regardless. That said, as an anime example, I think I remember Hikaru no Go did this relatively well, where it had Hikaru recounting to a different character, I think maybe Waya, all of the different games that like they've played, because they're talking about Akira and trying to like go through how that rivalry came about.
Yeah, and this is basically taking the structure of like the detective going through the clues and saying, like the difference of how it's in the story is the difference between like the detective recap and the greatest hits recap, as I guess we'll call it, right? Or we can name these. We're making new theory as we make this podcast, right?
Maybe. Someone look. There are an entire field, multiple fields of media specialists who are probably cringing at us right now. You know what? It happens.
we are not classically trained in this. This is a hobby podcast. But if someone feels inspired by the ideas we say and they want to write about it, fucking go off, king, queen, or otherwise. That being said, before we dive into our next bit of conversation, I think it's time for the news corner. Cheer.
Absolutely. A little cheering noise. I'm editing in all booze.
Please do. That's fantastic. I like that as a bit too. I think we have three pieces of anime news today. I'll go with one of my two first, and then you have yours. The first one is, let's talk about Jump Force, a game that exists.
Somehow.
For those who don't know, Jump Force is a game that is playable, and it is a anime fighting game in big quotes. And this game has all of your favorite Shonen Jump characters. And I wanted to, first of all, say, wow, I'm baffled that this somehow got a second season of Season Pass for DLC characters, because I swear literally no one on Earth plays this game except for Denzel Curry. And secondly, that they added Biscuit as a Hunter x Hunter DLC character before Meruem, and I'm fine with that. I like both of those. Just a little surprising. But we got Bisky in Season 1, and the news is that, like, one, this game still exists. Two, you shouldn't play it. Three, they're now adding Meruem. There you go. That's what you get.
Yeah, this sort of came out of left field because I just sort of assumed this was a dead game. And no shame if you enjoy playing Jump Force competitively or otherwise. But most of the attention that I've seen about it is relatively negative. And even looking at the Steam reviews for the PC version, even the positive reviews, once you read them, are not very positive at all. And it just sort of seemed like a weird version that wasn't as good of J-Star's Victory Versus, which was just this, but kind of better, if I'm being honest. So I don't know. It was weird to hear that this was getting a second season of DLC, but they're choosing good DLC, and it seems like what their fans want is just more anime characters anyway. So they're doing what the fans want, and I can never fault a company for doing that. Even if I personally don't like their game, if they're going after their core fan base, like, hats off to them.
Oh, totally same. Hype. Like, if you were, like, the person who's like, yes, Meruem is in my favorite fighting game, Jump Force, this is your day, and I want you to enjoy it, because you deserve that. That being said, the two best reviews on Steam said, I saw all the bad reviews, didn't trust them, wanted to see it for myself, bought it, I shouldn't have bought it, and then just the word no. Which were two excellent reviews, but you can share your news now.
So, my news is also a bit of anime gaming news. Final Fantasy 14. Which is an MMO. If you know about Final Fantasy, surprisingly, this is one of the best Final Fantasies to come out in the last, like, 10 years, honestly. Jesus Christ. Is getting one of its biggest patch updates. By the time this episode comes out, we'll have the patch update in 5.3. I believe the title is Memories in Crystal, which will extend the free trial to level 60. Which is into the first expansion, streamline the entire original, like, chain of story quest for the base game, which was notoriously long, and add more in-game content. So, like, if you've ever seen Final Fantasy 14, one, it's a good time to get into it, but also, if you log on to Twitch, there are quite a few good Final Fantasy 14 Twitch streamers who I know are going to be all over this new in-game content, like Drak Gamesteen, and probably Golden Tate and Zeppla HQ. So, you know, something to check out if you're looking for a new MMO home.
And finally, we're going to do a thing we haven't done in a couple of weeks that I've been wanting to talk about, which is our God of High School recap. And in short, we're up to the episode where Jin Mori fights Han Dewi, which is like episode 5 or 6. And it's still pretty great.
Yeah, God of High School has delivered on the promise of a gorgeously rendered manhwa that honestly has better choreographed both fight scenes and animation than most mainstream shounen-y things, and it's honestly really impressive. I also like, though I know that in the community of God of High School fans, there are mixed feelings on it, the direction they've went with how to compress the very slow and at times convoluted beginning of the God of High School plot. And I think the fact that the author was very much involved in the adaptation has really served them well.
As a God of High School noob myself, who has not read the manhwa, I can say that I really love the way it looks. I love when Jin and Han do their special attacks and we get these gorgeous like pieces of splash art. And then for a while there, it even started to become this kind of watercolor painting as they were fighting near the end of their fight, which I just thought was excellent. I like that we're getting through the whole make the main characters friends instead of enemies thing really quickly. Even if Han comes off a bit like Ichigo and Jin comes off a bit like Goku, I'm interested to see where they go. And I think I'll end my sort of review of the few episodes by quoting Jaxblade, who's a content creator that I think is fantastic. And Jaxblade is a fitness and anime content creator who described the best like hand-to-hand combat in anime when it's like when it needs to be comes from stuff made by Yutaka Nakamura or like in Naruto. When Naruto needs its hand-to-hand choreography to go fucking crazy, it just does. And he compared both the style and substance and the choreography of the God of High School's hand-to-hand direction to that of like the really good Naruto fights. And I think it's got that same sort of feel to it.
I definitely agree. As my closing thoughts and kind of with the theme of this episode as far as the future of anime going forward in the streaming age, I think that this will be a kind of green flag for more webtoons and manhwa to get anime, and specifically streaming studio anime. I don't think it will be long before Netflix jumps on this similar trend, and I think that Crunchyroll has really gotten ahead of the game by forming this kind of very strong tie with both MAPPA and with Webtoon. And I can just imagine what sort of interesting things that they're going to be able to do, whether that be different dramas or anime, or maybe even manga adaptations. Because I know for a fact something that would just print money is if Lore Olympus got an anime.
I don't know what that is, but I'm going to write it down for later.
Lore Olympus is a, in an almost K-drama style, retelling of the Persephone's Hades romance, but actually as a sweet romance, and it's one of the most popular webtoons available.
I've seen that. I just didn't know the name of it. We have mutual friends that read that.
Yeah, and like the idea of that realistically having a chance at being animated for as popular as it is kind of like rocks the future of the industry to its core, because it's no longer inaccessible to get things that were published by small time artists. And I say small time not to say like you guys aren't popular. All content creators, you're doing an amazing job, just like not in the mainstream like a magazine like Shonen Jump now has something even more to work towards, similar to how I think the fan fiction community gets very excited every time a fan fiction gets made into a real book or movie.
Oh, hell yeah. Entirely. I think this, with the like moderate success of Tower of God and now the pretty ridiculously well-received God of High School, I'm super excited, especially for the only manhwa that I've read, which is like some of the horror content they have. Fan-fucking-tastic. But on that note, before we get back to the episode, I wanted to do a couple of things. First, I want to thank each and every one of you for listening. Every single time we see a new download comes up or we hit like a new download milestone, Xavier texts me and we get all giddy and it's fantastic. We haven't even made 10 episodes so far and we're already pushing like 250 career downloads, which is just really awesome. And I'm glad people are enjoying the content we're making. If you want to continue to enjoy content, see my terrible ramblings or maybe pass this on to friends. That'd be fantastic. You can follow us on Twitter at SatAnimePod. That is at SatAnimePod. Our email is also on the Twitter. I don't have it off the top of my head. Feel free to email me things if you want to. And because we don't really do any advertising, I guess when we have guests on, we'll tell our guests to tell their fans to listen, but it's not like we're like astroturfing for fans or anything. So if you have any friends or communities you're in who you think might enjoy the content, it would absolutely mean the world to us if you would pass this on to them. And on that note, I'll let Xavier take away the second half of our conversation here.
All right. So kind of keeping in theme with my final thoughts, I guess I want to talk about what this means for the future of anime, because I do think that structurally, anime is going to have to go through a great upheaval to sort of keep up. And the question I want to ask as sort of the thesis for this conversation is, with things like recap episodes becoming more of a slog than they already were, because the purposes of recap episodes are starting to shrink, do you think we're going to see people and studios run to bulk releasers like Netflix more often now, especially with people like Trigger going to Netflix and saying, hey, we'll work with you for such and such, right? Because I think that that's a big deal. And I think that that could have a long time impact on the consumption of anime. And I think that this trend of wanting to cut away certain archaic things like recap episodes is a stepping stone in that.
I don't think it will happen to some of the most massive studios in the industry, at least not very quickly. Like, I could never see like a Toei or a Sunrise doing something like that, right? I don't think you're going to see Toei Animation being like, hey, Netflix, want to pair up to drop like the last arc of One Piece together? That'd be pretty sick. As cool as that would be, probably, damn. But I don't think that'll happen, right? I don't think Toei of its size would do that. But when it comes to smaller studios that are really well-loved, like MAPPA with Crunchyroll right now, or like how Trigger has done with Netflix, I think that could be kind of common, right? We're living in an era with the decline of cable. We're living in an era where most content consumption nowadays is on smart TVs and on laptops. You're on Netflix, you're on Hulu, you're on Amazon Prime has a really good anime selection. You're on Crunchyroll, you're on Funimation. And I could easily see more studios following in Trigger's footsteps, especially with the reception that things like Little Witch Academia has had, which people liked, and Brand New Animal, which people have seemed to really like. I could totally see a bunch of similarly sized studios partnering up with a variety of streaming services to offer this. I don't know how big it'll be with like the more like big iconic household namey types, like maybe Bones or something wouldn't, but a lot of the more mid tier, maybe like Kyo Annie wouldn't, but a lot of more upper mid tier studios for popularity, I could see benefiting a lot from this and thus like diving head in, you know?
I find it interesting the studios you mentioned, right? Because I feel like these bigger studios are the ones who are holding on to things like recaps. So for instance, Sunrise, I think, has been a little bit ahead of the game for a while, though they're starting to fall behind too. At least with Gundam, which, if you don't know, Sunrise is like the studio for Gundam content and most mech content in general. Like, let's just be honest.
Pretty much. That's kind of their whole deal. They're also like the best in the industry at making mech like transformations look cool as shit. So like they really got the art honed down.
Yeah. So on the Gundam Info YouTube channel, they will re-release whole seasons of Gundam for public consumption, sometimes for free, or they will release the episodes weekly, subbed by them. Like, this is how Iron Blood Orphans was rolled out. This is how Gundam Build Fighters and subsequent seasons of Build Fighters, like Try and Build Divers have come out through the Sunrise Gundam YouTube channel. And these things still have recaps, because again, I think this is a structure that is so entrenched in these larger, more traditional studios. But they're always looking for new ways to expand. So I don't know if we can write off older studios like that, because it seems like they are very much invested in how can we get content to people in a more efficient way.
That's true. I kind of forgot about Sunrise doing that, but now that I think about it, they just took down the like fan uploads of the original like trilogy cut down of Mobile Suit Gundam and re-uploaded them all as like official uploads of, hey guys, this is where you can watch the Mobile Suit Gundam original series like trilogy supercut for free. I completely forgot that they did that, and I want to go rewatch them now, but I'm not convinced in the direction of like a Toei or something of that size, but I mean, I think recap episodes are kind of slowing down, right? And maybe this is because the kind of things that have more recap episodes tend to be longer form stuff, you know? And those are kind of slowly becoming, I guess, higher quality or higher production value, or are being taken more seriously when it comes to sticking to the manga because of like the historical success of Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, which blew everything out of the water and was like basically the way they got Hunter x Hunter 2011 approved, was the fact that that existed. With the success of stuff like that, I see more things sticking to the manga, and I guess that means we're going to get less recap episodes, but I don't know if we'll ever see them like die out.
I think it's unrealistic, at least as far as like cable release manga and cable release anime. Sorry. Like, as long as that exists, I don't think you'll ever be rid of the recap episode. But I think in the way of which we were discussing hypothetical and even like currently used recap structures, that we're going to see a redoing of that in like sort of the same way that Fire Force has redone that structure that we talked about earlier. Because honestly, I don't think that with the way the anime fan base has grown, and specifically like along with the size, anime fans have just sort of become smarter. And they're no longer falling for the same like industry myths, like the idea that there has to be filler, because not only are there so many examples of this doesn't have much, if any, filler, but there are so many examples of shows that people love just going on hiatus for a long time because they want to stay true to the manga. So I think it's becoming more acceptable to take that extra time because fans want the most original product possible and are kind of tired of the old cable style because of how fast we can enjoy media. And I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing.
I'm thinking of series that have been cut down and restructured like this. I'm going to answer your good or bad thing, but I have a direction that I want to talk about after it. I think good and bad in this instance is from a lot of different directions, right? Is it like good for the creativity of the team making it? Is it good for the audience's consumption? What does it mean to be good for the audience's consumption? Is it good for the studio's profit margins, right? And I think depending on like a case-by-case basis, all of those change in different ways. But I think overall, there's a lot of benefits to both sides, I guess, because I understand the necessity of recap episodes and some structures, because if you're watching, like we said, if you're watching all of these episodes of Boruto weekly, you're not going to remember when Naruto, Sasuke, and Boruto fought Momoshiki in episode 65, when that was literally 2.5 years ago, right? You're just not going to remember it. Unless you're like us who rewatch that fight every month, but not everyone is us. So in that case, like, I get it, and it's necessary. But with the streaming, I think they're kind of bad. I don't think the studio gains a lot by having one in there if they're doing, like, a bulk release in the way that, like, Netflix has done with Brand New Animal. I don't think the audience really wants one, right? Like, in Hunter x Hunter, which is a 148-episode series, there's a singular recap episode 26 episodes in, and from then on out, they just sort of trust you and don't do any more recap episodes, right? And I often think about what the reason for that may have been. And I like to think that they just kind of realized that you don't, like, it's kind of falling out of style. You don't necessarily need it, and you can get away with it, I guess. So I think, depending on how the audience is consuming the media, it could maybe be a pretty good thing.
I also, as far as, like, good for the audience, I think we've covered that pretty well. I think that maybe long-term, this could be good for some studios. I don't think it's any surprise, at least to the anime fan that's been watching for the last 5 years, that anime has been rapidly improving in animation quality. Writing quality, that's still up for debate, right? There's always going to be like massive shovelware anime and then like your gems. But animation quality on average has shot up, and whether you like the new art style or not, or the implementation of CG or not, comes down to taste a lot of the time. But if we're just comparing like what's available now to what used to be available, like head and shoulders above, right? And I think that that has a cost, and it's a mounting cost on studios that they're going to have to address eventually. And if it's going to be a cost to keep bringing us this new quality of animation to be competitive, that I don't think it behooves studios to keep spending money on extra content.
I think I'm kind of with you. I think in the long run, it's pretty great on a lot of fronts, but maybe that's just, maybe we're uninformed and not entrenched in the industry in such a way as to realize that it like has more detriments, you know? But I think in a lot of cases, it could be pretty good.
Well, like, I definitely acknowledge that it has its detriments. For one, it breaks a long-standing practice, which is a hard thing to do in the Japanese culture, because so much of the Japanese culture is built on this sort of trust economy and this traditional economy of this is just sort of the way things have been done, so this is the way we're going to keep doing it, which is not always true in anime, right? Anime has a lot of innovation, and maybe this is just going to be another step in the animation hallmark, right? But, you know, it's a hard thing to get away from. I also think that it will put more pressure on studios if they're expected to essentially be smarter with pacing from the outset without boring fans. Because one of the things that filler and recaps are really good at is giving you time to wait for your manga. And, like, if you don't have that time to wait for the manga, you're essentially, one, hoping that the mangaka stays in amazing health, because it's a demanding job that can, like, really hurt your body if you aren't prepared. But also, you're playing this eternal guessing game with how much of this episode should be this part of the arc, with how much of the arc we know should come out by the next date.
That's totally fair. And I think it's going to make studios be more careful in what they're willing to adapt, which has its ups and downs, right? Because I don't know anyone who's read Chainsaw Man that isn't like, damn, we got to give it a try. You know, we got to try and animate that. But I don't think there's nearly enough content for someone to start that like anime, you know, for them to not catch up within a year or two and then just run the fuck out. Right? So maybe a studio will take into consideration like how much content they're working with before picking up a series, which could, one, have the benefit of leading to smarter series pickups for the studio's end, but two, possibly lead to some slower produced manga never getting an adaptation they deserve, right?
Yeah. So like you have things that are essentially unadaptable, like Berserk, which I think like you would have a hard time providing a satisfactory adaptation to Miura's work. But like, I think in the age of streaming, at least until it ends, because I don't think you can animate this until it ends, something like Shumatsu no Valkyrie, which we talk about often, is never getting an anime. And you literally never expected to get one.
And that's fine. I'm comfortable with that never getting an anime, because I think it's a phenomenal manga that I'm comfortable staying in that medium. But when I thought of slower stuff that's never going to be animated. I was like, not only is a weekly stuff difficult to animate, how the fuck would you ever start animating Shumatsu no Valkyr unless the manga was already complete, which isn't going to happen for maybe 3 to 6 fucking more years, you know?
Yeah.
And then who knows if anyone will even want an anime adaptation of it by then, right? It's already like a medium popularity manga, I guess. So it's interesting to see how this culture is going to change how studios will decide what shows to make, I guess, right?
Definitely. I also think that this is, as far as like recap episodes, right? This is indicative to not an extinction, but maybe a widening of scope of the long-running shonen. So one of the most popular shonen of the last few years is Demon Slayer. And like we talked about, Demon Slayer has avoided the recap episode for the most part. I think there's some episodes that like recap a little bit, but like they're not full-on recap episodes.
Yeah.
By essentially just taking their break and being like, we're turning one of the most important arcs in the manga, and one of the best arcs in the manga, in my opinion, into its own movie. Which, hey, it's Ufotable, so they can afford to do that. But this presents a structure that like other studios could definitely borrow, especially other studios that do movies. But also they're in a unique position where Demon Slayer the manga has ended, and like seemingly ended on a very intended note. So I think we might be living in a world that won't see the death of the long-running shonen, because the long-running shonen is, one, such a staple, and two, puts a lot of food on a lot of people's tables. But maybe we're going to see more shonen just sort of run their story course and not just get canceled.
Which I'm really here for. I like when the mangaka gets to complete their vision, you know? I enjoy when more series are given the chance to survive in Jump and similar magazines. Because I like when good content gets to be made in its entirety, and I like the creative process being brought to the front.
Yeah, and like this episode's supposed to be about recap episodes, but I don't, especially now, because I didn't expect it taking this turn. Think about it, I don't think you can talk about the recap episodes or similar topics like filler without talking about the future of anime and the structure of how we enjoy anime. Because a few years ago, and by a few, I mean like 5 to 10, right?
A few.
Demon Slayer would already like be 50% filler. Like if Demon Slayer had come out with Naruto, it would be 50% filler.
Oh yeah, no, they could have just made up more demons, had people fight like more like pillars or whatever for longer periods of time, throw some recap episodes in there, and now all of a sudden, instead of like probably 2 24 episode seasons in a movie, you're 100 episodes and no movie. You know, that could have just happened.
Yeah, which is really weird to think about, because if we're keeping with like this corporate greed angle of all the evil anime companies are forcing recaps and filler in so they can sell more DVDs. One, even with the now widespread availability of anime DVDs with things like Amazon and Walmart picking up a bunch, I don't really know how much physical sales are bumping like that. Because I don't know if like anyone's built a computer lately, but most cases don't even come with disk drives anymore. It's kind of ridiculous and scary to think about.
Yeah, I mean, hell, I know that you have stuff like your consoles that function as DVD players nowadays, but I went to a Best Buy recently, right? And I looked around. Their physical selection of anime has been shrinking like every single year that I can remember it being there. And there's still some heat in there, I'll be real. Like they had the Cowboy Bebop Blu-ray and I almost dropped $35. Like I almost did it on the spot. But they just sort of had like some odds and ends Ghibli films and some odds and ends seasons of Naruto, some stuff I'd never heard of that were just sort of like there. Like, and then a couple really iconic things, and it was just one tiny section of a massive store when it used to be like two whole aisles or something, you know? I don't know. That's my anecdote. But I have two things that aren't future related to cover before we're done.
Okay.
I have two things is a lot, but
as sort of like a closing note on this, with the shrinking physical anime space, and again, this like evil anime company narrative, even though I don't think it's evil for animation studios to want more money, because holy shit, as long as that money's going to the right place, like the animators gotta eat, right?
Yes, they do. Please.
I just think it's so interesting to watch a Japanese media phenomenon evolve in such a way. Because even with like Japanese fighting games, these are very rigid content creators, and they often will just keep doing a thing the way they've been doing it, regardless of fan input. But now you're seeing them relent to fan input like a lot, and it's really strange, I guess, after years of watching this stuff come up. And maybe it has to do with the digital age just being like they're more accessible to fans now, but you're seeing these waves not just in anime but also in things like fighting games, where because of the internet, everyone knows about rollback netcode now, which is a better form of like peer-to-peer communication for fighting games for less lag when you're playing online. And the fans have essentially pressured Japanese fighting game makers, who notoriously do not change how they make their games, into very seriously considering implementing things like rollback, which is crazy to me.
Oh yeah, no. I think it's insane the amount of interaction we're getting between like the community itself and the people making the content, right? And I mean, you can attribute some of that to the internet. But you're going to have to cut this little bit out here, because I have to plug my laptop in before we go to the next section, because my laptop just screamed at me.
That's hilarious. Or
we'll leave it in, and this will be a really great bit, but I don't actually recommend you do that.
I'm gonna, and okay. So in this little spot, I'm gonna go ahead and put like some nice waiting music.
Wow, my laptop was at 6% battery. Hells yeah. We're plugged back in though, baby. We're good to go.
Okay.
I have two things I want to talk about before we're done. And of course, you can decide if you leave that in or not. If you're taking it out, then we're going to have to figure out a way to get back into the content. So should I just go for it?
No, just go for it. Like, I'll figure it out.
Okay. I want to talk about I want to talk about series recuts to remove filler. Like,
yeah.
Like the online Naruto fan project, or like Dragon Ball Z Kai.
So, like, talk about them in general, or talk about them.
Like, I just wanted to bring up if the existence of something like Kai shows a trend, like in step with all of this, towards streamlining the content to for ease of watch, right? Because a lot of Dragon Ball Z can be hard to watch sometimes if you're not watching Kai, because there's a lot of stuff that gets repeated over and over again, and there's a lot of stuff that takes way longer than it should, you know?
I definitely think that's a beginning of a trend, but like this is a trend that has been sporadically present in anime for a long time. Like, even as far back as like the Mobile Suit Gundam movies, where part of the purposes of those movies is to cut out all of the unnecessary, like, time-wasting bullshit that is in Mobile Suit Gundam that makes it kind of a slog to get through sometime, and just gives you the meat and potatoes and fills in the gaps if there's something important sort of hidden away. Like, this has been a continuing trend, and I do think it's getting more common. And I think that the more common it gets, the less recaps and things you're going to get, but I don't think it's going to come in the forms of recuts anymore. Nor do I think should it, because if, like, especially with the Naruto fan project, if fans are going to do the work, I think studios are just going to piggyback off the work. Because in the same way as the Gundam Info YouTube channel, why would I let you do this when I could do this and get the ad revenue from people watching it?
Oh, totally. No, I agree with you. I just kind of wanted to bring that up because it's a little thing we hadn't touched on. I also don't think that, like, cutting it down to make it just the canon content via, like, fan work or even via studio work of old series is the way it should go. It was just something that I kind of wanted to, like, toss in the pile of discussion before, like, my actual last closing line of discussion, I guess.
Oh, no, no. I support fans doing it, but I guess I'm afraid, and this is just, I guess, me mistrusting companies. I'm afraid that this work is going to get stolen. So, like, once these recuts are done, and, like, let's say you upload them somewhere, or, like, you upload them to YouTube, which is one of the easiest places to upload videos right now, there's essentially nothing stopping them from being, like, copyright claimed, and more than that, we downloaded this, we're going to make an HD version of it, fucking yoinked.
Boom, Naruto Kai, baby, and we didn't have to spend a dime on it. Which is a bit pessimistic towards companies, but that's how it be sometimes, you know?
Yeah, and I think that, like, it would be really sad to see something like that get yoinked. But also, legitimately, these studios can do a little bit more quality than the fans, as much as I appreciate fan work. And how much of this should be the responsibility of the fans and how much of this should be the responsibility of the studio is just going right back to, should anime just be like Demon Slayer, where it's only relevant content, and if you really need that big of a break, pick an arc, make a movie?
I think I lean in that direction, personally. But I think I only lean in that direction because, one, it allows animators and workers to take a break when need be, and two, so far in execution, it's delivered us pretty excellent content. If I am not entirely locked in, I'm at least hopeful for a future where that can be the kind of things we're working with.
Yeah, same. Because I do think ultimately all of these things should be the decision and responsibility of the studios. And I think that this is just an evolutionary step.
Yeah, no, I agree. And before we're done, I want to, one, kind of hint at a future episode, and two, talk about something that's, like, adjacent to this, which is reusing of footage or content, but in a way that's thematically relevant, or, like, kind of the point, I guess, right? And I only say this because I've been slowly watching the early episodes of Revolutionary Girl Utena, which is a series that I have already grown to adore, right? And there is reused content. There's reused music. There's reused fight animation. A lot of the episodes follow a nearly identical structure, right? And I haven't watched enough of the series to be able to tell you if this is, like, the point or one of the points or related to one of the points of the series or whatever the series is trying to say. But I wanted to just sort of be like, hey guys, sometimes reusing content or reusing animation isn't necessarily some sort of ploy to save animation money or something. It can be done with artistic intent to kind of match in with whatever the theme or ideal of a series may be. And I think Utena does it, like, really, really, really well. And that might just be because it's gorgeous and has fantastic music, and I am a biased man. But there you go.
So to tie into recaps, I definitely support the reusing of material to a degree, because in the same way as, like, the monster of the week structure of media, it allows for small variations to mean a lot, a la our last episode on Steins Gate, where it's like changing the smallest detail can really influence the plot a lot, especially in, like, time travel media. So you can reuse a lot of scenes of key animation. I cautionarily approach it, though, right? Like, I approach it with a little bit of fear in my heart. As a Gundam fan, because if anyone remembers, like, the Gundam Seed Destiny era of things, they would use a bunch of recuts of used content, like, in the battle scenes. Like, it would be the same shoot the laser animation, and which would eventually devolve into just beam spam as the way to solve battles. So I think that while it can certainly be used as an artistic device, that using it as a crutch to reduce on things like filler or to reduce on things like recap episodes might lead to bad outcomes.
Oh, totally. And I agree. I am very skeptical of this being done, right? Because if you do it wrong, it comes off really, really lazy and really, really bad. Like, just it just does completely. Which I guess is why I enjoy it so much in Revolutionary Girl Uthena, because it seems to me like it's done in a really tasteful way. Like, every time she goes to fight, there's this whole like minute-long musical number that is the same song and the same like walking animation, and the same like opening of this magic gate and stuff. But because of how well it's done and because of how it feels like this is kind of tied to the point of the series, I've never been bored of it. Like, I've never been like, man, I just saw the same thing again and it really annoyed me. Or how sometimes in a fight they'll reuse like the same sort of sword strike hit or whatever. But because of how creatively it's done, it's not something that's bored me yet. Even though I could see like one or two tiny missteps making it fucking unwatchable. So like, I'm also skeptical in execution of ideas like that. I just like to be hopeful and point out that things are not always necessarily bad. Because this is a positive show for positive people.
Yeah, and I definitely think like recaps can be played around with. And there's a lot to be structurally played around with there. Of how do we incorporate the details we want to remind people of into the content that they're already getting? Because I think that what we should see to get away from things like recaps, and I'm sorry that we're shitting on recaps if you enjoy recap episodes. Like, some people legitimately like are not as invested in media, and like, you forget what happened and you don't feel like re-binging. So for those people, recap episodes are legitimately useful. I just happen to feel like, especially in modern anime, they've gotten to be a bit clunky and maybe need a bit of a restructuring. And I don't think this would be as big of a problem if there was a change in philosophy to treating every episode like it's going to be someone's first episode, I guess you could say.
That's interesting. Because it makes things really accessible, I guess, right? I feel like for some series, that's kind of really not feasible. But for a majority of stuff being produced, I think there are ways where you could make it so that, like, at least the episode is not unintelligible if you've never seen an episode of the series, right? So I'm totally along with like attempting to make like middle to later episodes of a series. I don't actually know specifically how you do that, because this is actually an exceptionally difficult thing to do. Thinking through it in my head, like, what tools do you even begin to do? I know we're not in media creation, really. We do a podcast. We don't make anime. But what do you do to, like, introduce your characters every episode without making it overbearing for someone who is binging it?
Okay, so this is what I mean. So it's not a literal thing. So this is what I mean by a writing philosophy of treat every episode like it's someone's first episode. And it's really about capturing that magic of flipping through the channels and finding something cool. And one way to do it is making episodes more often than not self-contained story structures. And this doesn't mean not stretching an arc, right? Like, I'm not saying that it has to be Monster of the Week style. But for instance, take the typical shonen tournament arc. every episode, or maybe every two or three episodes, is a new fight. And when you tune into that fight becomes its own self-contained story of a battle of either wits, strength, or philosophy, or a combination of all three. The reason why you can watch a clip of your favorite anime fight on YouTube and not feel like you have no context isn't because you're watching the anime, because I've shown these fights to strangers and they still like it. It's because it's showing something self-contained, something that is interesting without the context. I think of this a lot with poetry too, as someone who is kind of a poet, right? I have some stuff published. I don't have like a book or anything, but all of my poetry is in some way linked to my experience. But I never want to write a poem unless this is like the point, or unless the poems are linked some way. But even then, I hesitate to say I would ever want to write a poem that necessitates a familiarity in my work. I want to give the same feel of theme that you can see a common through line when you read more in my work.
Yeah, and the way you're talking about it reminded me of one show in particular, which I think gets how it feels right almost all of the time, and could be picked up at almost any time, even though many parts of it are serialized. And it's not anime, and I'm sorry to everyone for making it not an anime, but I feel like Adventure Time is so damn good at that.
Yeah.
And I don't know if this is like a hot take or anything, but main characters lose limbs in that series. There are multiple main antagonists. There are Monster of the Week episodes, but there's the whole Lich King arc. There's like Finn and the whole new arm. There's like multiple romances for a variety of characters, right? And there's a lot of serialized character development going on. There's entire backstories for people like the Ice King. And even then, I never caught that show at all in order, like on TV for the years it was airing, right? I only ever watched that show in order years later. You can just pick it up and I could always go, this is Adventure Time. I know what's going on. I'm here for it. And I don't know what specific like detail in it did that, but that's what's coming to mind is like something that's just excellent at that. And that might be something American cartoons are better at. I really don't know.
Well, I don't think it's something American cartoons are better at. I think there's quite a few anime that do this quite well. So for instance, Adventure Time, whether people like it or not, is influenced heavily, I think, at least from looking at it, by Full Metal Alchemist, a series that very much does the same thing. Watch any episode of Brotherhood just about and be drawn into it, and it makes you want to learn more about the context, but you're never like completely lost because the motivations are all relatively clear from episode to episode, with only a few needing that extra context. But even like the episodes that are political intrigue work pretty well as standalone political intrigue episodes. And like, this is a minor spoiler, but Full Metal Alchemist has been out for a long time. The episode where they assassinate or think that they have killed by blowing up the train Fuhrer Bradley, you would think is an episode you need a lot of context for. But I think it works as a great standalone episode of political intrigue where it's like, oh my God, they blew that dude up. That was kind of cool. Why did they do that? That makes you want to watch more without alienating people from the context. I think another series that does this amazing is Samurai Champloo, where you never feel lost because you don't know the backstory of the samurai who smells like sunflowers or anything like that. It just sort of adds to the journey.
Thinking through like later episodes of these, because I think like testing it on episodes near the finale is probably a good way to see if it's like really good at it. I think you could show somebody just like the castle siege bit, or the main siege bit at the end of Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, and they could be almost immediately caught up in what's going on with the majority of the characters.
Yeah, because the characters are realistic and the characters are always moving towards their motivation. And that's a big one. And one of the reasons I think people don't like filler all that much, because even though filler can be great for characterization and adding a little bit of development, if that development doesn't carry over, it was meaningless. But if your character is always moving towards their motivation and like the main meat of your series, then every episode feels real and feels like it has stakes because they're always moving forward. I also think Fairy Tail, for as much shit as it gets from the general anime community, as well as One Piece, do this extremely well, where the characters are always going after their desires. So each episode feels like, oh, I know what that guy wants. And so that's the context for the fight. He wants to save Erza.
Yeah, and I was going to say, I think that impact is kind of the difference between how, like, the Seven Swordsmen of the Mist, like, filler hits better with, like, a payoff 250, 300 episodes later, as opposed to they went to a village and did a side story thing in the filler, right?
Yeah.
So, I like, payoff is important to the quality of filler or to, like, just sort of setting up, like, what you need for, like, to make it all feel good when you're recapping and when you are, like, using content that isn't exactly canon, right? So I'm just kind of with you, man. Like, I think that's pretty much at the core of it.
And I think of it also from, like, a writing standpoint. If you've ever been in a bookstore, right? There's reading the back of the book and getting the synopsis, just like there's reading a series description. But also, a lot of how, like, I choose which books to read, at least for me, is just sort of cracking it open and reading it for a little bit. And oftentimes, they'll just be in the fucking middle. Or I know people who will read, like, the very end first and then be like, oh my god, how did they get there? Right? So, like, this idea of being able to be interesting when you cut into something and then wanting to know more about it, I don't think is particularly unique. I think this is something about the way we consume media on a daily basis anyway.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I don't agree because I've never been in a bookstore in my entire life. Hasn't happened a singular time.
Nope.
And nope. Literally, not like I've been to bookstores with you or anything. Absolutely not. But no, I've done that. I've cracked open. Hell, I've gone and picked up like 5 or 6 books and been like, well, don't have the money for all of these, and I'll read like 2 pages somewhere in the middle of all of them and grab the 3 that I was the most engaged with, you know? Like, I think this is this sort of ability to pick up, understand what's going on, or to present a story that can be picked up and understood at most of the points of the series is a strength of media, even if it doesn't have to be like the fucking Fire Force season 2 episode 1 title card for all your characters every single episode you see them, right? That's not necessary, because if you're creating the media in, like, I guess in a consistent manner, people will be able to get the feel and really be there for what's going on, even without all of the extra episodes or chapters or words of context. And I think that's, like, creating media like that is gonna be important, as it has kind of always been, I guess.
I also think that as far as, like, studios and mangaka trusting their audiences more, right? So, like, I don't need as many recaps, because I do remember, at least for, like, the audiences outside of Japan, these studios have to remember the ways in which we originally consumed anime and manga were rarely, if ever, in order. So, like, we're already used to jumping into a thing and having to find the context. And the easier you make that, the more deft or, like, talented of a writer you look. Because I remember, right, picking up, because it was the only volume there, like volume 5 of Hitman Reborn, before I had seen the anime, and being like, oh wow, this is really cool, because Hitman Reborn has this sort of self-contained style, and this is easier in volumes of manga and books. But like, if you watch Hitman Reborn, especially anytime after the switch from gag manga or gag anime to shonen action anime slash manga, the tone is pretty consistent, and you feel like you're getting what's happening from episode to episode. And this is partially due to consistency of character motivation, but also they have probably some of the best uses of last time on, because they're extremely short, and sometimes they're at the end of the episode.
Yeah. I do want to say, like, your discussion of picking up, like, volume 5 of Hitman Reborn, like, it really took me back and made me think about some stuff from the good old days of reading the manga that my high school had in its library, you know? And, you know, there was always, like, that guy who would keep checking out, like, the same volumes over and over again so nobody else could read them, because they were, like, his favorite ones. And because of that, like, there were series I started where I read volume 3 first, and then I read through, and then eventually volume 1 and 2 were back, and I got to read those too, right? So we are kind of trained for this, and I don't think that's necessarily an intentional training, because I didn't deliberately go into high school like, I'm reading Shaman King volume 3 today, and eventually we'll figure out what's going on. Like, I don't think anyone bought the volumes that way for it, but it just sort of feels like, because of how sometimes media is inaccessible, our brains work in this way where we like these stories, where we can always get in no matter what's going on. And I know it's a bit of a departure from recaps, but that's kind of a cool thing to quote unquote discover, or at least acknowledge near the end of an episode. You know, I like that.
Yeah, because I realize that it sounds what's the word? Unrealistic or demanding, or maybe even snobbish, to say I want more anime to write their episodes like it's the first episode that someone is seeing, right? I realize that's a lot to demand, but I don't think it's as unrealistic as it sounds on the surface, and I think it's something that anime creators have been doing for a long time. Not necessarily on purpose, but like, if you really look at some of the things that are considered to be like the greats of the great, like Trigun or Great Teacher Onizuka, these are things that establish their tone almost every episode.
I haven't experienced Trigun yet, but GTO is that kind of series. It really is. And even thinking back to something like Dragon Ball Z, as iconic as it is, there are so many places in Dragon Ball Z where you can pick it up and just be like, yeah, I know what's fucking going on. We got aliens, laser beams, and crazy shit, dog.
In fact, I don't, at least like if you're of a certain age, I don't think most people saw Dragon Ball before they saw Dragon Ball Z. I really fucking don't.
And most people didn't.
Yeah, and Dragon Ball Z is still considered a classic while people are like, oh, so Dragon Ball happened?
Yeah. Also, weird context. A lot of people don't know this. The first chapter of what we consider Dragon Ball Z came out literally a week after the last chapter of Dragon Ball. So it was just a week-to-week jump of like 3 years in canon.
Yeah, which, you know, which is cool. Manga. I just like it happens.
I just like that. Like, that just a fun little factoid for our fans at home who aren't as obsessed with this shit as we are.
Which is weird, because Dragon Ball, the manga, like, ends after a really big time skip, too.
It's kind of weird. I've never completed Dragon Ball. I have experienced Z. In fact, I know all about Z. It is good. I've never finished Dragon Ball.
Well, like, the original thing about Dragon Ball is, like, so Dragon Ball ends after their teenage tournament arc. So like, they're teenagers at the end of Dragon Ball. But it's not like they grew up into teenagers. There is a time skip, and then time for the world tournament. And weird. Then you get a time skip into Z.
He did the double time skip. Toriyama really out here pioneering how to write manga, as always.
So, you know, I get that it might sound a little bit pompous. And I think that this episode might come off a little bit pompous to be like, brr, these anime studios need to get rid of recap episodes. But, like, I think the greater thing that we're trying to say is it's not that recap episodes have to go. And, in fact, recap episodes have many pros and cons. But I think that it would be remiss to say we shouldn't investigate the recap episode, why it's there, and how we can make it better to the consumer.
100%. And I'll do my bit of the wholesome ending, and then I guess you can close it out. And all I really want to say, because I thanked you guys all earlier, is... We're trying not to be like super greedy anime fans or anything. And I am very excited for whatever studios will put forward in the future. I will continue to be an anime fan. I just think it's important for all of us to take time to think about ways we can always encourage growth within the medium. And I want to thank everyone for listening to what is probably our weirdest, most stream of consciousness all over the place episode yet. Although I feel like most of the topics we covered are really, they're all adjacent enough that this probably feels almost like it says something. I want to thank all of the people who make recap episodes, and I want to thank everyone who will continue to keep them on the payroll even when recap episodes no longer exist. I want to thank all of you for listening. And as we transition into the time of year where people are starting to go back to school in some places, I'd like to encourage everyone to wear a face covering of some kind, be safe, live your best and most successful life, and keep on coming back every single Saturday morning. Have a great week. Have a great weekend.
Yeah. So for me, it's much of the same. Thank everyone for all of the support that we've been getting. And thank you to people that make anime, because it's a hard job. And even though we're being kind of hard on recap episodes, we wouldn't be watching anime this long if this was like a make or break thing. And this is a casual anime podcast, and part of being casual in your anime watching is enjoying something and just watching it for the enjoyment, not necessarily because it's a grand art piece. And I think that recap episodes, and for that matter, the structure of anime going forward, is going to affect the enjoyment of the consumer. And I want people to keep enjoying these series, because the more people enjoy these series and invest themselves in these series, the more that will be made. And I think that that's something everyone wants, at least in this fandom. And, you know, in the same way that I thank, like, this audience for their support, I think that part of thanking an audience for support is taking them into consideration. And I think that this being an ongoing debate and conversation topic in the anime community makes it better for fans. And all I ever want is for media to be better for the fans, as well as the people making that media, to be compensated fairly and to keep having fun doing what they're doing, because it's stressful and they don't have to do it. And we should all show our appreciation for that in any way we can, even in small ways for things that aren't anime. And I think that's gonna be it for the episode. So thank you for tuning in.